Welcome to the Advancing Healthcare Through Data podcast brought to you by IMAT Solutions. Over the coming weeks and months, we will be sharing industry insights from our sales and business development executives, exploring health data trends, and uncovering opportunities for health payers, MSSP ACOs, and beyond. And for our first episode of this series, we are speaking with Mark Kutzer, who's the VP of Business Development at IMAT Solutions, about how IMAT brings clarity and confidence to health data. And Mark, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm really excited to kick off this podcast series. And I think the first question here is really about your background. So before we dive in, please tell us about your background in the health data arena.
Sure. It goes way back, but I spent my early career in the telecommunications and energy industries in both technical management and program project management roles before I ended up moving to healthcare in 2005. And then from 2006 to 2010, I spent 4 years with a commercial payer with a focus on portfolio management activities. We were supporting claims processing and plan development. Then from about 2014 to 2016, I managed data integrations and interoperability for a state health information exchange. And this is really where I first acquired a deep knowledge and understanding of clinical data, along with population health and care management processes. In 2017, I had the opportunity to be in the clinical trials arena and managing operational support functions and BI analytics reporting on clinical trials outcomes and performance. That was really an interesting period. My first engagement with IMAT was in 2018, where I managed a portfolio of client SaaS HIE technology implementations, along with the onboarding of all participating EHR provider data. I then spent a time with a competitor for a couple of years, and I re-engaged with IMAT in 2022 in my current role.
Okay, great. Appreciate that background. And it certainly is very applicable to what IMAT does. And really, tell us about how IMAT brings clarity and confidence to health data.
Yeah, at IMAT, we place a lot of emphasis on data quality. And of course, to support this discipline, we've invested in a rigorous data governance framework that we call our C3 framework, which focuses on the currency, the completeness, and the cleanliness of clinical data. So what we do is, after the data is ingested, we apply syntactic and semantic processes to standardize and normalize the data that we receive from the source. And that source is typically a EMR, at a practice, at a provider, at a hospital. The data validation reports that we have developed as part of this framework are then used to assess the quality of the data. You know, for example, are dates correct? Is the gender applicable to the standard? You know, are we dealing with an age that is applicable, not a 200-year-old patient? We use the UMLS terminologies as an example. And then, believe it or not, we determine whether any data mapping is required. You know, even in this day and age, we're still getting data from data sources where they have local coding. And then that's got to be mapped. If they're using some local ICD-10 coding process, we've got to map that to, you know, the standard ICD-10 codes. Very importantly, we also perform measure validation on specific ECQM and HEDIS measures to assess the not met criteria and also the data completeness requirement. You know, within the measure validation, we have this infamous value sets, which are extremely important because those value sets consist of, you know, LOINC and SNOMED ICD-10 for diagnosis and RX norm and CPT codes for procedures and reimbursements. So we've got to ensure that the data we're getting has been standardized and normalized and curated so that those measures can trigger and the denominator and numerators can be reflected correctly. We also perform primary source verification, believe it or not, on a subset of data. to verify that we have received is actually present in the source EHR for audit purposes. And because we are NCQA DAF certified, this is extremely important as the responsible party that we do PSV. And at the end of the day, this discipline really helps solve the garbage in, garbage out conundrum. Even though in this industry, we have what we call standards when it comes to HL7, you'd be surprised how much dirty data there is and how certain EHRs and their vendors do not conform to standards.
You know, the point about dirty data plays in perfectly to my next question. So really, overall, why is having clarity and confidence in health data important for health payers?
Well, when it comes to the payer community, when we provide a payer with what's deemed a trusted clinical data asset, it really positions them to execute strategies that deliver business value through their digital technologies to meet their specific use cases. So when this occurs, this allows the payer to focus on member and provider experience, for example, value-based health outcomes, cost efficiencies, and revenue growth. Because clinical data is no longer optional for payers. You know, it plays a key role in executing their organization's vision and strategy. Example, there has been a significant shift, as we all know, towards emphasizing and evaluating high-value activities in the provision of patient care with an emphasis on value-based care. We all know that payers and providers are actively collaborating to improve patient outcomes. There have been many federal mandates that are driving us down this path with a focus on enhancing care quality and controlling costs through value-based contract arrangements that prioritize value over volume. So having clarity and confidence in the clinical data supports not only care coordination, for example, quality improvement for HEDIS and STARS, risk adjustment, but many more use cases that the payer can capitalize on. Also, payers are increasingly looking to providers to assume financial risk in addition to the risk of clinical quality and the outcomes of their managed populations, which makes accurate value-based performance reporting very important. So that's really, in a nutshell, why it's important that payers receive high-quality clinical data.
That's great. You know, Mark, we really appreciate you sharing your insights today. And our last question is really future-focused. So when it comes to health data, what does the future look like? And how is IMAT poised to meet these future needs?
So this is an interesting question, because as we all know, healthcare is evolving at 100 miles an hour. But if we want to look at this succinctly, I think the future of healthcare data and technology is really poised for transformative advancements. You know, AI and machine learning are going to continue to play vital roles in the data analysis activities, the diagnosis, and just personalized treatment plans. I also think that wearable devices and telemedicine, which really skyrocketed in the COVID years, will become more integrated, enhancing the remote patient monitoring and improving access to care. And along these lines, I see blockchain technology also being used to secure and streamline data sharing, ensuring patient privacy and data integrity. But I think these capabilities have a longer runway because the industry will need to solve several challenges that we're very familiar with. And that includes the infamous PHI and consent conundrum. You know, before we start sending this data through all of this new API AI capabilities, you're sharing patient data and you got to be really careful on how that's going to be managed. And like I said, maybe the blockchain technology can help solve that problem. And also with data sharing now being paramount, I think the short-term evolution will continue with a focus on FHIR integrations and national data sharing exchanges, which today is probably going to capitalize on the TEFCA strategy. I expect that the feds will continue to drive mandates and these mandates will probably require the industry to move from optional to mandatory participation somewhere between now and 2030. A lot of the mandates that have been passed down from the feds are sort of causing the adoption to occur because of the penalties on the back end. Again, with a focus on TEFCR, I think there are still several functionality-related gaps that will need to be filled before full adoption across the industry. For example, you know, the current data exchanges, including TEFCR, are very patient-centric and focus on treatment. So in my opinion, the use of bulk fire API integrations will need to be more universal to support data exchanges when it comes to a large patient panel or even a payer roster. Now, you cannot be doing that at the patient level. And lastly, I think the evolution of healthcare will be consistent and ever-changing. It's a great industry to be in. I think the metric is that the U.S. healthcare spending grew 4.1% in 2022, reaching $4.5 trillion, which is about $13,000 per patient. And we all know that this is not sustainable. We've got to get to a position where it becomes more cost-effective. And I think everything that's been planned for the future and how AI and machine learning is going to play a key part in that is going to help solve that particular issue. But along those lines, IMAT is poised with already integrating our FHIR APIs, being able to ingest and produce the data in the required formats, and provided a centralized data repository of all the clinical data where that can be leveraged.
Okay, perfect. Well, this concludes this Advancing Healthcare Through Data podcast brought to you by IMAT Solutions. And as you heard in our first episode of this series, Mark Kutzer, who's the VP of Business Development at IMAT, spoke about how IMAT brings clarity and confidence to health data. It even shared his future vision of really where health data is going. And Mark, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt. Great speaking with you.